for many of us, taking charge of our retirement future is, well, it's a monumental goal, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And in Australia for, gosh, over 625,000 people, that means self-managed super funds, SMSFs.
Mm-hmm. Collectively managing close to $1 trillion now. It's huge.
A trillion. Wow. So today we're zeroing in on a really powerful strategy within that, SMSF property investing.
A very popular one.
Indeed. And our compass for this deep dive comes from Rhonda Madden, Director of Investing in Property, specifically her SMSF Property Investing, a 2025 compliance blueprint.
Right. A very timely guide.
Exactly. It's designed to cut through the noise, you know, give us a clear path to making informed, confident, and crucially compliant property investments through your SMSF in 2025.
Compliance is definitely the key word there.
It really is.
Yeah.
So our mission for you today is to unpack not just the how, but the really important why it matters, mm-hmm. especially with these new rules coming in 2025.
Things are changing.
It's not just about finding a good deal anymore. It's about mastering the rules of the game to make property a rock-solid, compliant part of your retirement plan.
Well said.
So let's dive in. Despite what the source calls, you know, political noise and tax changes, there's always chatter around this. Why does SMSF property investment still stand out?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it such a strategic advantage for so many?
Well, it's fascinating because the core advantages, they really stack up. First, you've got the tax efficiency. That's a massive driver.
Okay.
Earnings inside your SMSF rent, capital gains, they're taxed at just 15% during accumulation.
Only 15%.
Yep. And here's the kicker. That can drop right down to 0% once you hit the pension phase.
Zero. That's huge for compounding wealth.
It's a powerful accelerator, exactly. Allows that property wealth to potentially grow much faster. Secondly, there's the power of capital growth combined with leverage.
Right, the borrowing aspect.
Yeah, through what's called a limited recourse borrowing arrangement, or LRBA. It lets you amplify your fund's buying power.
So you aim for higher value properties.
Precisely. You can access assets you couldn't with just your cash balance. It's leveraging your super to build wealth.
Yep, makes sense.
And third, diversification. For funds maybe heavily weighted in shares or cash, property offers something tangible, a different asset class.
A way to spread the risk.
Yeah, adds a layer of stability, a different growth profile, genuine diversification.
Of course, it's not all smooth sailing. There are risks, right? Illiquidity is a big one.
Definitely. Property isn't easy to sell quickly.
And the compliance complexity we mentioned, plus just general property market risks.
True.
But the message from this blueprint seems clear. With the right guidance, property can still be a really powerful pillar for retirement.
Absolutely, if done correctly.
Okay, so we've touched on the potential, but regulations change. Let's pivot to those critical updates for 2025. What are the big shifts trustees need on their radar, especially around compliance?
Right, 2025 is pretty significant. From July 1st, 2025, SMSFs with balances over $3 million face an additional 15% tax.
An extra 15%.
Yes, and crucially, it's on unrealized capital gains under Division 296.
Unrealized. So tax on paper gains, not just when you sell.
Exactly. And now it impacts a minority of funds, those over the $3 million threshold.
Okay.
But for property-heavy portfolios near that mark, it's a major strategic rethink. It raises a big question. Are you tracking your fund's paper value as closely as its cash flow now?
Interesting point. What else?
Beyond that, the ATO is definitely increasing its scrutiny. We're seeing stricter requirements for annual property valuations.
How so?
They need to be genuinely independent and justifiable. No more quick estimates. Plus, more audits focusing on LRBAs and the fund's overall investment strategy if it holds property.
And you mentioned the sole purpose test. That sounds fundamental.
It is. Trustees now need to explicitly prove the property is strictly for retirement benefit. No personal use, no personal advantage. Period.
So, like, using the SMSF beach house for a weekend, even if you pay rent, is a definite no-no.
Absolutely not. That's a classic trap. Big penalties. You know, connecting this all together, failing on compliance isn't trivial.
What happened?
Serious consequences. Penalties, being forced to sell the property, even potentially getting the whole fund disqualified. It really underscores why mastering compliance isn't just about avoiding trouble. It's actually your strategic edge. It lets you use property confidently while others might shy away.
Okay, so with these changes, getting the actual structure of the SMSF right from the outset sounds more critical than ever.
Right.
What does Rhonda's blueprint recommend?
Yeah, the foundation is key. The source really highlights a few things. First, a corporate trustee.
Why a company structure?
It's advised for simplicity, clear separation of assets, and it makes things like trustee changes much smoother later on, avoids tricky asset transfers.
Right.
Then, for any borrowing the LRBA we talked about, a bare trust is essential. It's a separate trust that holds the property title on behalf of the SMSF.
Creating that layer of separation for the loan?
Precisely. That's what makes the limited recourse work. And all the LRBA documents have to be meticulous. Specify it's non-recourse, single identifiable asset.
Okay.
And critically, your SMSF's investment strategy needs updating. It can't be generic. It must explicitly mention property, the borrowing, and crucially, how you'll manage liquidity, cash flow planning.
So it's not just about finding the property.
Yeah.
The paperwork, the legal framework before you buy is just as important.
Absolutely. Foundational documents need to reflect the plan. Your trustee needs to allow property and borrowing.
And if you're unsure,
get expert legal and accounting advice. Don't guess. That trust deed is like your funds rulebook.
Got it. Okay, let's dive deeper into that LRBA, the limited recourse borrowing arrangement. It's key for leverage. How exactly does it work, and what are the rules for 2025?
So the core safeguard, as the name suggests, is limited recourse.
Meaning?
If the loan goes bad, if you default, the lender can only go after that specific property. They can't touch the other assets in your SMSF.
Ah, so the rest of your super shares. Cash is protected.
Exactly. It's a vital protection layer for your broader retirement savings.
And the property itself sits in that separate bear trust.
Must do. Yes. And a critical detail for 2025, often missed. Improvements made after you buy the property. They generally can't be funded by more debt under that same LRBA.
Oh, interesting. So renovations need cash?
Typically, yes. If you buy a fixer-upper using an LRBA, the renovation costs need to come from existing SMSF funds, not more borrowing against that property within the LRBA structure.
That's a really important distinction. Good to know. What about lenders? Are they still offering these LRBAs in 2025?
Yeah, the source indicates several lenders are still active. You're looking at maybe up to 80% loan-to-value ratio, LVR, for commercial property.
Okay.
And around 70-75% for residential. But, and this is crucial, you absolutely need those liquidity buffers in your fund.
To cover repayments or unexpected costs.
Exactly. And a solid repayment plan. Managing leverage effectively is key, especially with the ATO watching closely.
Right. So beyond the legal structures, the finance, the ATO also wants a detailed investment strategy. This isn't just a formality, is it?
Far from it. It needs to be comprehensive, tailored to your fund. It should clearly explain why this specific property fits your retirement goals.
Not just property is good.
No. Outline the risks. Market risks. Property-specific risks, detail how it fits your diversification plan for the whole SMSF, and importantly, include that robust liquidity plan.
Planning for what-ifs, like vacancies or repairs.
Precisely. What if rent drops? What if you need a new roof? The strategy needs to cover that.
So it's not something you write once and file away.
Absolutely not. It should be a living document. The recommendation is annual reviews, minimum. And definitely update it whenever a major asset, like a new property, comes in or your goals change.
A dynamic roadmap, not a dusty map.
Exactly.
Theory is one thing, but real examples really bring it home. Rhonda's Blueprint has a couple of great case studies. Tell us about Jane and David. How did they use this for residential property?
Yeah, Jane and David's story is a good illustration. They bought a $650,000 townhouse in SC Queensland through their SMSF.
Okay.
They used an LRBA for a $455,000 loan, leveraging the fund, and put in $195,000 of their own super money.
Right.
The rent they got covered about 90% of the loan repayments. Add in depreciation benefits and that concessional 15% tax rate.
And the result.
Their fund grew by about $90,000 in just 3 years. It really shows how those tax benefits can compound and accelerate growth.
$90,000 in 3 years. That's impressive. Then there's Raj, who did something different with commercial property.
Raj's case is fascinating. He used his SMSF to buy his own business premises for $780,000.
Buying from himself. Essentially, or rather his fund buying the property his business uses.
The fund bought the property, yes.
Yeah.
Then, the crucial part. The SMSF leased it back to his operating business, but strictly on arm's length terms.
Meaning fair market rent, like leasing from a stranger.
Exactly. Market rates, proper lease agreement, often needs an independent valuation to prove it's genuinely commercial to the ATF.
And the benefit for Raj.
He effectively converted his business rent payments into tax-advantaged super contributions for his retirement. Plus, he gained long-term control over his business location. No landlord issues.
That really shows the versatility, especially for business owners.
It does, but it needs to be done carefully.
Right, that arm's length thing seems critical.
Mm.
Any other red flags or tripwires if you're leasing back to your own business?
Well, ensuring that arm's length nature is ironclad is number one. Market rent, market terms documented. Another trap is any personal benefit beyond just running the business there that violates the sole purpose test immediately.
Strict separation.
Very strict. Documentation is absolutely key.
Okay, so with all these rules, regulations, checks, it does sound like a lot to manage year after year. Almost needs a dedicated compliance officer. What's the essential annual checklist for SMFF property investors?
Uh-huh. Well, it certainly requires diligence. The blueprint gives a pretty clear checklist. Annually, you need to confirm that investment strategy is updated, reflecting the property. An independent annual property valuation needs to be done. And justifiable.
Got it. Independent valuation.
Review your trust deed periodically. Make sure it's still current with legislation. Ensure the LRBA paperwork is all in order and compliant.
Okay.
Trustee minutes got to record all decisions meticulously. Lodge your SMSF annual return on time. Engage your auditor early.
That's your engagement, right.
And ensure any rent received, especially if it's from a related party like Raj, is consistently at market rate with evidence to back it up.
Shoo. It's quite a list.
It is. So the real question for you listening is, are you ticking these boxes regularly, not just once a year at tax time, but are these processes embedded?
That's a great point. So wrapping this up, what does it all mean for you, our listener?
Hmm.
SMSF property investment, clearly still very viable, lots of advantages.
Definitely powerful.
But simultaneously, it's under a much brighter regulatory spotlight than ever before.
Absolutely. If we zoom out, success here isn't just about picking a winner property. It really hinges on getting that structure right, having solid governance, and frankly, getting good professional advice.
Yeah, that seems key.
The source really emphasizes that compliance isn't just a barrier. In this climate, it's actually your advantage.
Trustees who really get this, who master this landscape now, are genuinely setting themselves up for a secure and, I'd say, empowered retirement.
Well put. An empowered retirement.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on as we finish this deep dive.
Hmm?
How might really understanding the intricate dance of SMSF property compliance today, how might that redefine your whole approach to building wealth long term? How could you turn what seemed like challenges into genuine strategic opportunities for your own retirement future?